Let's turn in our Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 9. Not a place we normally go to very often, but Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. And I want to introduce a little about Christmas today, and it might take you a minute to find it, but that's okay. Isaiah 9, it's in the prophets, the Old Testament, verse 6 and verse 7. This summer, while you're looking at it, I'd just like to share when we were heading to Africa to meet our African missionaries, we had a layover in London, and it was an incredible time, 10 hours, and I love those 10-hour layovers. You're up all night, you get there, and you have 10 hours in a city. So we took off on the subway into London, and we decided, what could we do in like 5 or 6 hours? And we thought, let's go to the British Museum and the British Library. They're right next to each other. They're right on the line. We can get off, go to them. And it was hot as blazes. And London does not know how to do heat like we do. No air conditioning. It was like over 100 degrees. We were just miserable the whole day. But we had a great time. And we went to the British Museum. And when you go to the British Museum, there's one piece you have to see, which is the Rosetta Stone. So we went and saw the Rosetta Stone. And so we're in all these ancient stones. So John, Lucas, and I were together. The others went different ways. And we're walking through the ancient stones, and we're in the Mesopotamian period, which I'm the only guy that kind of likes that period. And so we're looking at it, and all of a sudden we came to a stone that's not much bigger than this, maybe 3 feet by 3 feet, with a relief of a king on it. Beautiful face and his, you know, the beard they used to have and the headdress and the long hair. And it was obviously from about the 7th century BC. And I looked on it, and there was the king's name, a name you have never heard of, but it's Tiglath-Pileser III. Tiglath-Pileser III. He was the most powerful man 700 years before Christ. He was the head of the Assyrian Empire. He was the guy that came down and took the Israelites out of the northern kingdoms. He and his other kings that were a little before him, a little afterwards, ran the whole world. And I bet you there's not 5 people in here that can remember his name, even though I said it just a minute ago. Tiglath-Pileser III. And so I looked at it, and I remembered Isaiah chapter 9. And then I left, and John and I left, and the others, the Wilsons and others were with us, and we walked to the British Library, which is just a few blocks, and I appreciated that it was the only place in town that was air-conditioned because they wanted to keep the manuscripts, you know, humidified or dehumidified. So we're in this incredible room. The Gutenberg Bible, the Magna Carta, the original Covendale Bible, the original Tyndale Bible. And then I walk over and there it is. 1741, 280 pages. Handel's Messiah was right there in front of me. Handwritten by George Frederick Handel. And there it was, the Hallelujah Chorus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I had just left the most powerful man of the 8th century BC, and no one but a few of us could even remember his name. And then I saw it. And in that oratorio are the words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government shall never end, and it shall have peace." And those words still exist today, while Tiglath-Pileser is a stone in a corner of a museum that no one even knows where it is. And that's what these verses are about. Let's read them together. I just quoted most of them. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is a reference that occurs two chapters before in chapter 7, verse 14. If you want to just turn back a page in Isaiah, that other very familiar verse, chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. These two sets of verses work side by side, but I'd like to walk through them just very quickly this morning. They're very obvious, but very important, because as we go into the Christmas story, why is the Advent so important? Because of these verses. First of all, in verse 6 of 9, for to us, that's us, to us, a child is born. A child is born. Jesus Christ, the Messiah's humanity, is identified there. He is a child who will be born. That's what we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks in coming in the month of December, is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he became man. But it doesn't end there. It goes, and to us, a son is given. Now that's different. A son is given. Who gives the son? God does. In the old days, the father would give a son. They would give the son to the army. They'd give the son to the temple. They'd give the son to an apprentice program. They'd give the son to something, son being S-O-N. And here, they understood that someone was going to give this son, and the someone was God the Father. God the Father gave his son. Here we are at Thanksgiving. The most important thing we should be thankful for is the giving, thanksgiving. The thanks we should have is the giving of the Son of Jesus to earth. And here he says it, to us a son is given. That shows his divinity, the fact that the Father is going to give the Son. A child is going to be born, Emmanuel, God with us, but God is going to give us his Son. How this worked way back at the beginning of time, I have no idea. Did God speak to himself? I'm not sure how it happened, but what happened is that God chose to give us his Son. Before we loved him, he first loved us and gave his Son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That is a direct connect back to chapter 9, verse 6. And we must understand it. But he goes on and he says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. This is a beautiful thing. For Isaiah, it was Tiglath-Pileser. For Mary and Joseph, it was Caesar Augustus. For the older Jesus, when he was older, it was Pontius Pilate and another Herod and Tiberius. For Paul, it was Nero. There are governments always that are going to be against God. They're going to be on the shoulders trying to push down, but we must understand these governments come and go. I like to use the word kingdoms. The kingdoms come and go. They will not last. But his reign will last what? Forever and ever. You remember, and we'll talk about this in Luke, I guess the third week of our study, that Gabriel came to Joseph and said that this boy will be of the house of Jacob and his reign will be forever. Chapter 1, I think verse 31, that the reign of Christ will be forever. It's not just going to be for 33 years or 35 years that he was on the earth, but it lasts forever. And I think it's an incredible thing. And then he goes on at the end of the verse, and he says, and his name shall be called. Now, we need to understand that it's not that his name is that, but these are the attributes that he will be named. And there's five of them. For some of you in your translations, there's only four. And part of that is a confusion because there's no commas and periods in the Hebrew language. And so the question is, Wonderful Counselor, is that one statement or two statements? If you have a King James Version Bible, it's two statements. Wonderful, comma, Counselor. If you have the NIV, or as I use the ESV, you have Wonderful Counselor without a comma. I believe there's a comma there because I don't think Isaiah was saying that his counseling was wonderful. I think he was saying that Jesus, Emmanuel, the Messiah, is wonderful. Do you remember at the end of Jesus' life when he came back from the dead in Easter time, he went for a walk with some guys on a road to Emmaus. Remember that? The story of the road to Emmaus. There were some of his disciples. They didn't recognize him. And they're telling him about Jesus. Of course, it's Jesus they're telling him about. And do you remember? He pretended like he didn't know anything was going on. And they said, you must understand the wonderful acts that this man did. They used the word wonderful or wondrous, depending on your translation. The acts that Jesus does are wonderful. Jesus is a wonder. It is an incredible from his birth. It's wonderful all the way through his life. It's wonderful through his death. It's wonderful. And through the fact that he shall reign forever and ever, he is wonderful, right? We use the word today glorious, which would be another word you could use when we sang glorious. But the word is wonder here, that Jesus Christ will be wonderful. And second, he will be a counselor. He is a wise one. He is the one that is all wisdom. And that's obvious because we know he's God. And then the third one, he goes immediately to mighty God. Mighty God. Now, there's no comma there, not mighty God. It's mighty God. This week has been an interesting week. There seems to be more anniversaries this week than I've ever seen, right? It's the 150th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's Proclamation of Thanksgiving. It's the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. It's the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, if you're a big BBC fan. It's also the 50th anniversary of the killing and assassination of whom? JFK. Two other men died within an hour of JFK that had probably more influence on the 20th century than he did. And that was a man named Aldous Huxley, who wrote The Brave New World, and C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis died an hour before JFK. And C.S. Lewis, I was rereading this week, actually on an audiobook, Mere Christianity. And let me just read a quote out of that, because it's one of the great books in the English language ever written. And if you've not read Mere Christianity, it's got to be one of your books you need to read. Why is it so important who Jesus is? Lewis. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things said that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. And then he went on to say that either he is our Lord, he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. Which one do you believe? Is he mighty God or is he not? And Lewis proves through his book Mere Christianity that you cannot accept him as a good moral teacher. Because if he was a good moral teacher, he wouldn't say the things he said, like, I am the only way to the Father, that I and my Father are one, and things like that. So the passage tells us that he is the mighty God, and we know that to be true. And then the passage goes on to say, Everlasting Father. Now you say, wait a minute, Jesus is the Son, not the Father. The real translation should be Father of Eternity. The word father here does not mean you know, my father in the sense of Father God. What it means is the originator, like we would say our founding fathers, the father of modern medicine, the mother of modern nursing. You know how you use those words? You're not actually saying she's the mother, he's the father. You're saying they're the beginning. And what the scripture here is saying that Jesus is the father of eternity. In other words, he was here from the past and he shall reign forever and ever. So he's here forever. Jesus is here forever. He is the father of eternity. And then the last one, which I think personally is the hardest one. I have struggled with this for years. The Prince of Peace. Now, in the story of Christmas, it says peace on earth, goodwill to men, right? And I have always wondered, where is the peace on earth? You know, if Christ came to bring peace on earth, we have kind of missed it, haven't we? I mean, it's nothing but wars in the last 2,000 years. Nothing but conflict in the last 2,000 years. Nothing but civil strife in the last 2,000 years. And where he grew up is the worst place of all. So what did he mean? He was talking about his kingdom. Because it goes on to say, of the increase of his government, or can I use the word kingdom, and peace, there will be no end. You see, there's two kingdoms here. And we've talked about these two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of earth, the kingdom of Tiglath-Pileser, the kingdom of JFK, the kingdom of Obama, the kingdom of, you name whatever leader you want to name. And then there's the kingdom of God. In our own lifetime, even in the lifetime of the children sitting in front of here, the balance of power is shifting in this world. You know, we think that America is going to live forever. We're wrong. The balance of power is such, I travel all over the world, I see it. The balance is moving to the east. The balance is moving to the south, the global south. Whether we like it or not, we're still very powerful, but there are other very powerful kingdoms on earth here today. We don't know where the kingdoms of earth will be 100 years from now, but this we know, that Jesus Christ's kingdom will last forever. So we are part of the kingdom of earth, which we will end at some point when we die, but if we believe in Jesus Christ, we will be part of the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. You can join the kingdom of heaven. You can join this kingdom that lasts forever by believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's as simple and as straightforward as that. And that is the story of Christmas. And it goes on and says, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. Again, there's no justice or righteousness on the kingdom of earth right now, but in the kingdom of heaven there is from this time forth and forevermore. And then he kind of seals it with the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. In other words, God the Father has decreed that it is true. And the story of Christmas goes on. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about Christmas. We're going to look at it in Matthew, and you'll really see the division of the kingdoms there. And then we're going to look at it in Mark, and you say, well, there's no story of Christmas in Mark, but there really is. Then Luke is the traditional story we're familiar with, and then John, which takes us back to the beginning of the world. Let's pause and pray for a moment, and I'd like us to turn our attention to something very important. We've been asking you for the last 8 or 12 weeks to be praying for your neighbors, to be praying for people who need to come to know the Lord. Today, I'd like you to pray right now for someone. Someone you're praying for. Someone you could share Christ with during this Advent season. Someone or some group of people, a family or several individuals you could bring to church next week or the following week. I want us all just to pause with your eyes closed. And if we're really serious in understanding who this son and child is, that he's wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace, we need to be sharing that. So pause for just a moment and pray for a person or two that you've been praying for. You've been walking around the neighborhood. You've been walking around your school. You've been walking around your office suite. And now you need to just specifically pray for that person and do it right now.
I'm just waiting on my neighbor here. He had to take a phone call or something. I think he said it was his lawyer. He's going through a tough time right now, but I tell you, he's crazy. It's like he talks to me all the time. And every time I take my trash out, it's like he's just waiting on me, waiting to pounce on me. But He's lived here for like the past 3 months, and he knows everybody in the neighborhood. And you know, me and my wife, we know a couple of people, and you know, we don't even know their names. We kind of given them nicknames, you know. So like, there's Red Door across the street, and Crazy Dog down on the corner, and Bill Rick lives next door. And we called him Bill for like the first 6 months, and then turns out his name's Rick. So. That was awkward. Hey, you know, and our neighbors, they don't really talk to us, and we don't talk to them. And you know, we like it that way. We really do. But then Chatty Cathy moves in and just like totally ruins all that. You know, I know that sounds horrible. He's a good guy and everything, and he's going through some stuff right now, and he needs something. I mean, he needs Jesus, really, but I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, how do you even broach the subject?
Hey, man.
Oh, hey, dude. Everything okay?
Yeah, it's just some ex-wife stuff, so.
Yeah, sure.
It can get pretty crazy.
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking for the last few minutes here, and you
go
spit
ahead.
It out. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Go.
You know, I don't want to offend you
yeah.
in any way, but, you know, I see that you're going through some stuff, and I've gone through some things, and, you know, Jesus has really helped me, and I think he could, you know, help you, too.
Jesus from the Bible?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Jesus can help me?
Yeah, I think he could.
Okay, I see. You know, how dare you judge me?
What?
I mean, you think you can help me with this and everything I've got going
no,
on right now? I mean,
I
who do you think you are? Oh, you know what? You have your magic little book, right? You think you can just go and save the world,
no,
right? And what, just because I've got a problem, you just think, oh, he just needs Jesus and then everything's okay, right? Well, you know what? I don't need Jesus, okay? Do you understand that? And you know what? If you ever come around here again talking about Jesus or God or whatever it is, so help me, God, I will kick your...
So it probably wouldn't happen like that. Well, I mean, I don't know. It could. I don't really know him that well, and I don't know what he'd do. I mean... And you know, I don't want to come across as that super televangelist guy, you know, with the coffee table Bible and cramming God down everybody's throat. I mean, I don't want to do that.
Hey, man.
Oh, hey, dude. How you doing?
It's just some ex-wife stuff, so.
Yeah, sure.
It can get pretty crazy.
Yeah, sure. You know, I have a friend, and I think he could help you.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he's not a lawyer. He's a Jewish carpenter. And he's my co-pilot, you know. I'd love to introduce him to you sometime. When can we break bread?
You know, I don't think I... Are you okay? Or what's...
Am I okay? Buddy, I've been bought with the blood. I'm lost in his love. I'm forgiven and freed. I'm of Abraham's seed. I'm dressed in his best. Say what? Dressed in his best. Too blessed to be depressed. I'm exalted and highly favored. Somebody shout. Definitely don't want to come across as that guy. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I'm thinking about this thing just totally backwards. You know, maybe he'd totally be open to it. I mean, he could. He could be completely open to this.
Hey, man.
Oh, hey, dude. How you doing?
It's just some ex-wife stuff, so.
Yeah, sure.
It can get pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, listen, if, you know, we can never do anything to help you.
Wait a minute, Ryan, stop. I want what you have. Oh. You know, I look at you and it just seems like you're just happy all of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, there is this tangible aura about you.
Oh, wow, okay, cool. Yeah.
You know? You are glowing.
Wow.
Right?
Ooh, yeah. Okay,
and I want that. You know, I want that.
Oh, yeah?
No, I need that.
Okay.
I need that.
Yeah.
Could you help me? Could you pray for me?
Yeah.
Ryan, could you lead me to Christ right now? I'm ready.
Well, that ain't gonna happen. Gosh, this whole thing just, it freaks me out. I mean, I could see this going like wrong in just so many different ways. You know, and I mean, and what if I say something that's not even in the Bible? I mean, what if I say something that's just totally off base? I mean, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a preacher. I mean, isn't this whole witnessing thing like the pastor's job or something? I mean, what if, I mean, I can't say nothing at all. I mean, you know, here's a guy who's in need and he's opened a door. What? I mean, I'm not going to walk through it. I can't do that. I mean, but on the other hand, I mean, what if I'm his last chance to hear about Jesus? I mean, what if the thing that's standing between him and hell is me?
Hey, man.
I mean, what if he needs me? I mean, what if my neighbor's counting on me?
So what are you going to do? None of us know the exact right words to ever say. Only Christ knows that. But we know we can pray, and we know we got to reach out to our neighbors. And there's this angst, and there's this fear that comes, and that you're going to say the wrong thing, or you're going to act wrong, or he's going to, or she's going to do something like was done here. But you know what? It's worth the try. Because there are men and women in South Florida that need the Lord. And as Ryan said, you and I may be the last or only Jesus they ever see. They're not reading their Bibles, they're not coming to church, but they see you and they see me. And I would say this month of December that starts in a couple of days is a great opportunity for each of us to step out of our comfort zone and to realize we can share Christ.